All right, yeah, tough one last night, but Drapes, it's Friday, and you know what? As we sit here at the Golden One, get ready for tonight's big game, I see what I think is a really good omen for the Kings.
What do you got?
Well, when the Kings finally broke through, the Sacramento Kings finally won a playoff series.
Yeah.
It was Chris Webber and Vlade and those guys, and the team they finally beat was the Phoenix Suns. That was the first time the Kings advanced in a playoff series. And they play the Suns tonight. Not only that, but look who's staring us in the face
here. I know.
As we get ready for our show.
Chris Webber's big head here on the Jumbotron. C-Web in town all this week. Got his new book out, his memoir, By God's Grace. And he's going to be on the pregame show on NBC Sports California tonight at 7 o'clock. We'll sit down with C-Web, chop it up. Mike Bibby will call in as well, you know, tell some old stories. But maybe, like you said, this is an omen. It's like we need, you know, King's royalty to come back in the building and bless us,
yes,
you know, as we take on the Phoenix Suns tonight.
He's already been here today, and then he'll be back tonight, Webber's schedule, Chris Webber's schedule, because they want you to be aware of this because you'll have opportunities to buy his new book here.
Yeah.
So he's at the game tonight. Tomorrow he'll be at the Oak Park Speaker Series Guild Theater. Then he'll be at the Rivercats game after that in the evening at the Rivercats game. And then Sunday back here for the Kings season finale against the Portland Trailblazers. And you will have some opportunities to purchase his memoir, Chris Webber, By God's Grace.
Yeah, exactly. And I saw a huge stack of them downstairs when I came in, and they're boxing them up and taking them to the team store. Some of them are autographed already, and so you got a chance to purchase an autographed Chris Webber, By God's Grace, memoir book tonight, and I think it's going to be electric in here, man. Think about, you know, just all the Kings legends we got going to be in the building tonight. Chris Webber, my guy, IT, Isaiah Thomas will be here. And if he checks in, he's going to get a big ovation, too. And so we're going to track him down. As soon as he's warming up, Whitey, your boy is going to go downstairs and holler at IT and try to get him on our show.
Yeah, we're hoping that happens. Our guy RJ, thanks, RJ, always does a great job behind the scenes. But he set us up so that if IT's out there, Drapes can run down, and hopefully we can, if all IT has to do is put on the headset we have set up there.
Right.
And then we'll make magic.
Exactly. Only a couple of questions. We're not going to keep him, you know, for a half hour, an hour. He got to get ready for the game. But, you know, dude, if I can't get Isaiah Thomas on our air when he's right here in town, right in front of me, you can take my card away, my guy card, whatever you want to do, because I will have failed you guys, not only here on the drive, guys, but the city of Sacramento. I will have failed everyone.
This is not a day for failure. We don't worry about failure. We worry about what's ahead and what can still be accomplished. Kings lose again. So now what? It's all about finishing seventh or eighth.
Right. Yes, exactly. And there's a huge difference between 7th, 8th, and 9th, and 10th. And, you know, I was talking to somebody, and they're like, you know, what's the goal now? What's the mission? The mission is to, at the very worst, you have two home playing games. You know what I mean? So you have two cracks at it here at G1C. And to get that, you need to win tonight. And I think you need to win on Sunday as well. Because this Phoenix team, man, it's tough. You need some help. I think the Pelicans are obviously out of reach right now. And so it's a gut punch what happened last night, and we'll dive into that. But it's a new day, Whitey.
Mm-hmm.
Your goals are still there. Your goals can still be accomplished, you know, by getting in. And in 7th and 8th is a lot better than 9th and 10th.
It sure is. We'll break down some of those numbers here coming up with the drive, guys. But long story short, the 7th seed going into the play-in has always made it. The 7th seed has always advanced. The 10th seed has not.
Never. Right. Yeah, exactly.
Now, things can, you know, change, but that's the way it's been to this point.
Yeah, exactly. And like I said, that 7th seed, man, you know, basically, you would have to lose two home games to not make it as the 7th seed. So the advantage is built in for you to take care of business. And I know the Kings have struggled at home, but, you know, that's the best you can ask for right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not going to get a top six. And so now if I'm Mike Brown, I'm getting the guys hyped to, you know what, guys, we're going to have two home playoff games, play-in games next week.
Were you at all disappointed? I'm not saying you should have been. Were you at all disappointed by the way the Kings came out last night? I was sitting next to somebody, you know, it was 31-11, and fans actually started booing, And the gentleman I was sitting next to said, I can't believe they came out like that in a game this important. And my statement was, I just don't think they can hang with these guys. Mike Brown mentioned it after the game, but he didn't really seem upset by it. Were you disappointed by the way that game started?
Yes, I was. Yes, I was. Because we talked to Antonio Daniels yesterday, the Pelicans broadcaster, former NBA guy, 13-year vet. And he said, you guys need a quick start. You guys need to come out early. And we didn't. And everything he said came to fruition. You know, the Pelicans played free. They played with confidence. They played like they were the big brother, and you just could not match up with them.
They played with force.
With force, exactly. And so I was disappointed. And, you know, I hear all this talk, well, we didn't have Malik, you know, he would have made. But Malik's not in the starting lineup. Like, the start of that game is what really upset me. For us to come out there and get blasted 31-11 right off the jump. Fortunately, De'Aaron Fox, you know, tried to put on his cape, and we'll talk about that in Drape's takes coming up, and led a charge back in the second quarter. But, you know, it sort of reminded me of the Dallas game. We're so hype, must win. You know, we're ready. This crowd is ready, and then bam, it's a dud. We lay down, and it was frustrating. Yes.
Yes, and we're just going to be just a little bit more quiet here for the next 40 seconds, whatever it is, because there's a youth game about to start on the floor, and they're playing, as you may be able to hear, the national anthem. So everyone's at attention, and we're up here where they could hear us if we get too loud. So for just a moment here, we'll be a little more quiet. The Suns have the Kings. They're at Sacramento tonight, of course, then at Minnesota. The Warriors have New Orleans tonight. Then they have Utah. The Lakers have Memphis tonight. And then, you know, the Pelicans are already out here. The Lakers and the Pelicans fly back to New Orleans for their final game of the year on Sunday.
Yeah.
I would think there's a good chance the Warriors and Lakers, one of them is going to win one of their games. So the Kings, it looks like you really want to win both of these games.
Yeah, I think you got to win both. And then you also, if you're trying to get the seventh seed, got to hope Phoenix loses again on Sunday against Minnesota. Because right now Phoenix has a two-game lead over you. So even if you win tonight, their lead is still one. You need to win both these games and hope Phoenix loses both their games. You know, if I was a betting man, like the way I look at it, I feel like the 7-8 matchup is going to be Phoenix and us. And I think we're going to have to go on the road next week and beat Kevin Durant in Phoenix.
Mm.
You know, if I you know, read the tea leaves, see, you know, what scares me, though, and I know the Warriors have a tough one against the Pelicans, but then they finish with Utah.
Right.
You know, and that the Jazz, you know, even though I think Jazz won
they
yesterday.
Checked out
but,
3 weeks
right,
ago.
Right, exactly. And so we need the Pelicans tonight to handle business and get the win. And, you know, and then the Lakers, too, you know, with their situation.
Mm-hmm.
Right now we're all tied, you know, with the Lakers and the Warriors. And the Lakers, who do they have again? They have
the Lakers have Memphis tonight.
Oh, Memphis, so they'll probably get
their easy one first, and then they're at New Orleans. They got to go out.
So we need them to go 1-1.
Yeah.
We need both and us to go 2-0.
Now, we've been kidding about your guy, Carmichael Dave, and, you know, he's been kind of negative. And, you know, he was tweeting some things last night where I guess, you know, ultimately you got to say he was right. But after all the games were over last night, he tweeted, the Kings are now tied for the 10th spot.
Right.
It's like, that's not actually true.
Right.
They're tied for eighth, but they have the tiebreaker.
But and that's the negativity that just sucks in this town at times. Like, why would somebody even say that? And not to rip Carmichael Dave, but
he's just depressed. He's feeling it.
You know, Carmichael Dave is the kind of guy that their son or daughter, you know, gets a B on a test and, oh, man. You didn't get an A. You know, it's like, dude, he got a B. Like, you know, it's like, oh, man, he got to Stanford. Oh, man, it's not Cal Berkeley. You know, dude, just shut up.
It's
not Ivy League. It's like, why do you – it's such a Debbie Downer, and it's frustrating that, you know, Carmichael Dave and some fans, you know, view this team in this season with that kind of lens.
Yes,
because
it's kind of myopic.
Right, it really is, you know. 45 wins, chance to get to 47 wins. Like, to me, that's a solid season for the Sacramento Kings.
Yes, it is. But Dave's not the only one. I found another Sacramento legend who looks at this the same way Dave does. We'll share that with you when we come back. And let's be honest here. Yeah, it's the play-in. Are people disappointed to be in the play-in? We examine that when we come right back to the Golden One. It's a Drive, guys, on Sacktown Sports. Before we got the show going today, Kyle asked an interesting question of Jay and myself. And it's basically, we're not being negative, but, well, the question is basically, is it a disappointment to be in the play-in, right?
Yes.
Fair question.
Yes, that is a fair question.
Uh-huh.
I think so.
I don't think so, but I could certainly understand people who felt that way. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. And either way, you know, we look ahead and everything's still ahead for the Kings, potentially, playoffs and beyond. But this surprised me because we've been talking a lot about Carmichael, Dave, this week. Dave was nice enough to come on with us. And, you know, he's just been so down about this. I just wish it was over because these losses are so hard. Well, Jim Crandall is a legend in this town. Jim Crandall was on Fox 40, legendary sportscaster. He was here forever. He's still around. He's retired. He's on Twitter now, and he's a great guy. He used to have a show on this station. And I saw this from Jim Crandall on Twitter. He says, the misery is almost over. I have never been happy about the end of a King season, but I will be glad when this one is over. And I was just like, Jim Crandall, it's one thing from Carmichael, Dave, but Jim Crandall's looking at it that way. What is wrong with us, Dave?
It's sickening to me, man. It is unbelievable how, you know, just negative certain people in this town is about the Sacramento Kings. 5 years ago, we would have been begging for a season. 2 years ago, if we had a chance to actually get in the playoffs and end this streak, fans would be super excited. And so we're turning into Warriors fans right now, or Celtics fans, is the Lakers fans right now. Is that what we want to be, Sacramento? Just this negativity, man. I go back to Rick Pitino when he took the job in Boston. The negativity in this town sucks. And I know it's just a minority of you out there, Kings fans, but the positive people got to rise up.
Right.
Because I'm tired of my timeline being filled with negativity. It's like I don't even want to go there. Like, and the problem, too, Whitey, is the negativity is occurring before the game, during the game, after. Like, it's a Debbie Downer mentality even before they throw it up in the air. You know, it's how many times, hold on, sorry to cut you, how many times have we seen this season, oh, so-and-so's out, uh-oh, we're going to lose this game. It's like, what are we doing, man?
Well, like, people are conditioned because of everything that's happened through the years. Doesn't make it smart. People right. can't help it. It's like a reflex because
that's loser's mentality, Whitey.
Yes,
that's
it's
being
a
loser. It's a
defense mechanism. By the way, you mentioned the atmosphere. Last night, to me, I thought there are a few more seats available than normal. And I thought, you know, during some timeouts, it was some booing. After the game, people had their heads down. But during the game, I thought the crowd was great.
Exactly. The crowd was great, man. I thought the crowd came ready.
Yeah.
I thought during that second quarter, it got loud. And I saw the Pelicans kind of falter just a little bit. Willie Green had to use a couple of timeouts.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, this crowd is ready. It felt almost like a playoff atmosphere. And so, you know, the thing that, you know, I like about Kings fans – the ones in the building, they got loud. They got behind the scenes.
They did.
You know, the social media trolls and stuff like that, you know, I'm just, you know, I don't have time for that, man. Not when we're in the thick of things right now.
Uh-huh.
You want to be negative after the season, look back in hindsight, man, that was a disappointing season. That was awful. Okay, but the games are still going on. Like,
so
Carmichael Dave tweeted out,
know.
You know.
That's what I was going to say.
Like, they're guaranteed going to lose this one. I think it was like 16-12 or something like that.
And the Kings were making a little comeback.
Right.
Like, wow, and
right.
I think they got it to four, maybe?
Yes.
And he's like, guarantee you this, they're still going to lose.
Right.
100%.
And I texted you guys. I'm like, save this one for later because it's ridiculous,
but,
man.
But, you know, not that Dave would throw this in your face, but he'd say, well, we have Beamer Beams Beamly. He says, let's see here. Where is it? Pardon me. He says, it's not negative if it's the truth. Pardon me. Yeah, if it's not negative, if it's the truth.
I tell you what, get me off this ship then, because I'm going to have to start muting people and blocking people on social media because...
But Kings fans would say, you're lucky because you weren't here for so much of this that makes Kings fans feel this way.
But you know what? Here's the thing, though. And I go back to my first year here, and I'll even point out Mike Brown in his opening press conference. If you think next...
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Transform your home in one weekend and get big savings on everything for your project at Menards. Menards carries the largest selection of Purdy painting tools you need to get your painting project started. From brushes, paint, roller covers, and even paint kits. Hurry in and save big money on Purdy painting supplies. Get everything you need for your painting project at Menards. Plus, check out Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Negative thoughts and think like a loser, you're going to be a loser.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's happening right now. It's, you know, we're not uplifting these guys. We're not like, dude, we're right there. Lakers, Warriors, Phoenix, like, and mind you, Whitey, I'll say this. Let me throw this at you. Last year's NBA playoffs, of the four conference finalists, where did they come from?
But two of them came from the play-in.
Exactly.
So in each conference.
50% of last year's conference finals came from the play-in. And so if you guys don't think that the Kings have a run in them, and I understand with the injuries is going to be tough. I get that. But the negativity started even before the injuries. But if you don't feel like the Kings have a run in them, just look at last year. Just look at what happened with Miami and the Lakers. All you got to do is get in.
Yes.
All you got to do is be one of the top eight when it's all said and done, and then anything is possible.
Now, both things can be true. You can still be optimistic about the Kings' chances going forward this year and still be maybe disappointed that they're in the play-in. So how do you answer that question? Are you disappointed the Kings find themselves in the play-in?
I am disappointed, but I got to get over it. You know, did I want better things for this team? Yes. Did I want a top six seed? Yes. Was I disappointed last night? Yes. And that's okay. That's part of it. But the door hasn't closed.
Right.
You know.
Right. That's right. Yeah, that's fair.
The book has not been finished being written for the Sacramento Kings. There's still a couple of chapters left in this book here. You know,
yes.
We haven't even gotten to the ending, the grand finale, the climax. We know this is one thing we know 100%, Whitey. We have a chance still to make the playoffs.
Yes.
Our playoff hopes did not end last night.
Speaking of books, Chris Webber's By God's Grace, available this weekend, available tonight here at the Golden One Center. Cha-ching. Hopefully that's worth something. I don't know. I am not disappointed they're in the play-in because once they weren't able to do anything at the deadline, and I think Jay was with me on this, I think we looked at this roster and said, okay, this is probably a play-in team. So to me, that's just the reality of it. Again, there is a path forward. Boy, you really have to make sure you stay out of ninth, especially 10th if you can. So you got to take care of your business tonight. Disappointing, yeah. On the other hand, when you compare it to all the past King seasons, the fact that it's
right.
Two games left, and they're still fighting for a playoff
right.
spot. To me, that's I'm not going to say, oh, this is a miserable season.
Exactly. 3 years ago, 4 years, whenever it was before the play-in, even shoot, last year, if we had not broken the drought, this year wouldn't feel the way it has.
I think you're
if
right.
If the drought was still going on and we had a chance to end it right now, the way we are, people would be excited. They'd be pumped up. Instead, we got people saying, oh, I can't wait for this season is over. What do you? it just
because,
doesn't make sense to me.
Well, man. Because they fear, oh, what else could go wrong? And the season was going okay. They were not playing as well as they could, and then it looked like maybe they're getting it together, and then you get a couple injuries. So Kings fans over the years are just conditioned to expect the worst.
But
right now, that's where a lot of people are. It's not a good way to look at it, but they've been allowed themselves to become conditioned to do that.
Exactly. But like I go back to Mike Brown. He didn't talk about ending the drought. He talked about winning the championship. I go back to the conversation I had with Katie when De'Aaron Fox put up 43 against the Pelicans in my first season, when she said De'Aaron Fox can't do this every night. I said, the hell he can't. If he want to be Tatum, if he want to be Bam Adebayo, Donovan Mitchell, he's going to have to do that. And so I'm trying to build these guys up.
Yeah.
I'm trying to hold them to a higher level expectations, and I need the fan base with me. Now, if you want to be negative Nelly and losers, go sit on the side because we're trying to win games out here right now.
You know what I think would get people behind you and get people fired up would be a little Drapes takes. You got some of those?
I got Drapes takes.
All right.
I got Drapes
takes. Yeah, we'll come right back with Drapes takes from the Golden One Center Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. Thanks for being with us today. A Friday to remember, Kings and the Suns. Kings zeroing in on hopefully the seventh spot in the play-in. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Drapes takes are coming up. Drapes, we also have this from Beamer Beams Beamley, who has been saying, well, it's not negative if it's true. He wants to clarify something. He says, I am not the one who threw the chicken wing last night. So
that's talk about frustration, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's one thing to throw a water bottle, some coins or something. First time I've ever heard people throwing chicken wings,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Did you hear Kevin Harlan?
I did hear
it. This morning. Yeah. Oh, it's so delicious.
Right.
Why would you do that? Perfectly good
crispy.
Ways of a chicken wing.
Right?
It's a chicken wing.
Well, it's about to get crispy up in here because it's time for Drapes Takes.
Calm down, Lion. Calm down. Take it easy, man. Just take it easy.
It is hard for me to calm down a day after, which was no doubt a disappointing loss. I'm with you, Kings fans. I feel the disappointment. I'm hurt that we're in a play-in. I'm sad that we didn't handle business against Dallas. I'm sad we didn't take care of business last night against New Orleans. I'm sad about the bad losses. But I will say this. The New Orleans Pelicans, it was very evident very early on, Whitey, they were a better team than us, especially without two of our horses. Like, the Pelicans came into that game and did exactly what they've done the previous four games, made life difficult. And at no point during that game, even during the run, did I feel like the Pelicans felt threatened by the Sacramento Kings. You know, it's like, I said it earlier, it's like being a big brother and you're playing one-on-one with your little brother. Sure, he may get a couple of buckets on you, but you know, at some point, all you got to do is get an extra little physical, maybe block a shot or two, something like that, and you'll win the game. That's how I felt the Pelicans approach last night. I didn't feel like they felt threatened at all. And ultimately, Kings fans, we just got to chalk it up. They're a better team This is a bad matchup for our guys right now.
The Kings never led, and what was most discouraging about the way they always seemed so confident was because Pelicans had a number of things they could do. It's like, we need a bucket, we'll either get to three, or we'll go to Jonas Valanciunas, or we'll just have Zion go to the rim. They still had a number of options when they really needed a basket, and all of them worked.
And the crazy thing, they didn't even have Brandon Ingram.
Yeah.
Like, that's and if I'm the Kings, I take a look at the Pelicans a little bit. Sure, we're without Malik. Sure, we're without Kevin Huerter. If I'm Monty McNair, we have to have a deeper roster to be able to withstand these kind of injuries. The Pelicans are doing it with Brandon Ingram out. We're not doing it with Malik and Kevin out. My second Drapes take has to do with De'Aaron Fox. I want to give Foxy some love, and here's why, Whitey. 33 points last night. Got to the free throw line 10 times. But I thought that second quarter, he tried to put on his cape and lead the Kings. Like the end of that first quarter, second quarter, I thought he really tried to put on his cape and lead the Sacramento Kings. I thought he, when we were down 31-11, he went to work. And so that's the De'Aaron Fox, especially without Malik Monk and Kevin Huerter. That's what we needed. That ended the first quarter, started the second quarter. I thought he really stepped up his game.
Yeah, he did what Kings fans were praying that he would do. And a real quick note on this, you know, plus minus for one game's really not much to hang your hat on. But he played 40 minutes last night. The Kings got worked last night. He was a plus three in his 40 minutes in a game in which his team ended up losing by 12.
Yeah, and he played, like you said, 40. Yesterday might have been a day where we needed him 45. like when Mike Brown took him out, I think it was the third quarter, it might have been a six-point game or something. I'm like, I don't know if I like that. Like, and I know it was his usual rest time and everything like that, but that might have been a game where De'Aaron might have had to go to 44 or 45. Let me say this, too, as I continue Drape's takes. Harrison Barnes. That's all I got to say, Whitey.
My guy.
Who called it? What did I say to over-under on HP? 17.5.
And you took the over right at the end of the show.
Kings fans, I don't want to hear you mention Harrison Barnes' name in a negative light. No, the rest of this season. The dude brought it last night. He stepped up. Now, if you're asking him to do it every night, he's not that guy.
He was good.
He was good last night. You look at a team like Denver. That's who we always try to emulate. Jamal Murray, Jokic, they bring it every night. KCP doesn't bring it every night. Christian Brown doesn't bring it. Aaron Gordon doesn't bring it every night. Some nights they have it, some nights they don't. So I feel like at times we hold Harrison Barnes to a higher standard, too high of a standard. HB is our fourth or fifth option right now, and he delivered last night. Give him some love.
Yeah, he had also 5 rebounds and 4 assists. And the thing that gets me about HB is he plays out of position, right?
Yes.
That's not his fault, but why is he – he's been playing out of position for a long time. It's not his fault, but that's what bugs me about the Harrison Barnes.
Well, it's the roster construction. We know as of now that this is a flawed roster.
Yes.
It is,
yes.
And Monty McNair has some work to do this offseason. I'll admit that. My final Drapes take has to do with Domantas Sabonis. And people will say, Domas has to be better. That's how I was yesterday. 18 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists. He needs to have more of an impact. I think Mike Brown and the coaching staff, they have to make life easier for Domantas Sabonis somehow. Whether it's some different play calls, get him on a mismatch a little bit more or something. Because I feel like Domas is at this point now where he's just being left out there to fend on his own against the Valanciunases of the world, against some of the bigs. And I feel like he needs – we talked about it yesterday – he needs Malik Monk.
Mm-hmm.
He needs help getting set up sometimes instead of having to go it on his own all game long.
You know what I think last night? Didn't HB and he run a pick and roll?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think they have mixed in a few things. And while his numbers have been down, given the way teams are really focusing on Domas, I think he's been playing well for the most part.
Yeah, and he's been solid. You know, but I'll be honest, we need more. We need more from Domas now.
Remember what happened the last time he played against the Suns?
Oh, yeah.
35, 18, right. 13, something like that.
And because he was atoning for that other game right before that against the Suns when they went small and Kevin Durant was guarding him, and we couldn't take advantage.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so he bounced back. And so I'm looking for a big game from Domantas Sabonis. But like I said, I think the coaching staff needs to do a better job making life a little easier for him, maybe a little more pick and rolls for him, maybe get him on the move with the ball where he catches it and still has a live dribble. That's what I want to see from Domantas Sabonis. That's Drapes Takes. It's brought to you by Ausco Uniforms. Discover why it pays to keep clean with Ausco Uniforms.
Thank you, Drapes. I have two Fox questions for you. One, were you worried? Are you still worried about his ankle?
Nah, not really.
He said
he didn't
okay.
seem to be worried, so I'm not going to worry about it.
All right. You know, we'll see.
We'll see.
You know, you've turned your ankle. You can always play the next day. And when he was asked about it, he put a...
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Transform your home in one weekend and get big savings on everything for your project at Menards. Menards carries the largest selection of Purdy painting tools you need to get your painting project started. From brushes, paint, roller covers, and even paint kits. Hurry in and save big money on Purdy painting supplies. Get everything you need for your painting project at Menards. Plus, check out Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Down. So no, it's not like the last one. I'll be good. So hopefully he's fine.
Yeah.
The other thing, did you think he deserved the tea he got last night?
Oh, if I'm keeping it real, he probably deserved to get ejected. He probably deserved to get thrown out because after he fired the ball at Zach Zarbin, he used some colorful language. I was right down there and I heard it. And I was sitting next to Antonio Daniels and Chris Haynes, and we turned to each other and we're like, ooh, he might get thrown out. And so Antonio Daniels was like, see, that's why I like Zach Zarba, because he doesn't take it personal. I've seen officials before, you say the magic word, they get upset and throw you out. Zach Zarba used restraint yesterday. So for sure, De'Aaron deserved a technical, maybe even an ejection yesterday.
That's funny because one of the people I was sitting by was saying, you know, couldn't hear, we were right up here,
yeah.
Couldn't hear, and the person I was with said, you know, I don't know why an official throws that guy out. You don't need to throw him out for that. Just, you know, just look the other way. And in fact, you're saying the official actually showed restraint.
100%. Like, when Fox called Zach Zarbin yesterday, like, gosh.
I think I misspoke. The guy I was with said, you shouldn't tee him up. He doesn't deserve a tee for that. You don't deserve a tee for that. Just, it's a play on. But as you say, he actually deserved maybe more.
Yeah, I was shocked he wasn't thrown out. Like, it was like, you know, you ever have your kids in the car with you or you're at a grocery store and somebody curses and then you cover your kids' ears or something like that.
You're
like,
ooh.
That's how I felt with De'Aaron Fox last night. I was like, ooh, am I supposed to hear that? Like, it was, it was colorful.
See, the officiating is really getting to him.
It really,
and that was a good call too. I think not just the tee, but before that, it was an offensive foul.
Oh yeah, because he's trying to be physical back. Yes, and he was frustrated because he was not in his eyes getting the foul calls. The officiating, and I'll say it right now, is a problem in the NBA. It is an issue in the NBA because some fouls are being called. Sometimes they're letting them play. It's like there's no consistency. Game to game, official to official, quarter to quarter. And I think what the league has done, and we had Antonio Daniels on yesterday talking about it, has really hurt the level of play in the basketball this season.
Mm-hmm.
I get, I understand wanting it to be more physical, but it's almost like street ball, prison ball out there. What I saw last night, you know, on both ways. And I'm not saying the Kings should have got more whistles. Like, on both ways, I'm like, man, they're letting them play, and it's borderline not basketball anymore.
It is, because clear fouls are not being called. Clear fouls.
Right.
If you want to legislate incidental contact out of the game, okay, maybe too many touch fouls, you don't need those. But now it's like no one knows what a foul is.
Exactly.
The officials certainly don't.
And if I'm a player, I'm trying to get away with as much as possible. You know, if they're not going to call it, I'm going to try to get away with it. But it's not a pleasant product to watch for me, seeing that kind of physicality. I don't like it.
That's why tonight the Kings with their, you know, quote-unquote, backs to the wall. You got to be physical tonight for a couple reasons. One is you got to send a message. Two, you don't know, to your point, they may not even call it.
Right.
You can get really physical. You saw what Gary Payton did to Rui a couple nights ago.
Oh, yeah.
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 It wasn't even a foul.
It's – and that they put the officials in a bad position, I think the league did, because I and we said it yesterday, I think it's gone overboard. It's gone way too far. And now we know as well as – the playoffs coming in, it's another level of physicality. So are you going to let more go in the playoffs? I'm not liking what I'm seeing in the NBA games now.
All right. De'Aaron Fox clearly get frustrated. Hopefully he's good to go tonight after tweaking that ankle late in the game. The Kings did make a little mini run there. Yeah. They kept it interesting. You know? I mean, when about the time
do you want me to give them a cookie for that? I mean, like I said, the Pelicans didn't break a sweat last night. Anytime the Kings made a run – or threatened in the second half, C.J. McCollum buried a three. I mean, that dude, we understand the history and why he has a chip on his shoulder when he plays the Sacramento Kings, why he wants to light us up, but that was hard to watch.
Yeah.
It's the way C.J. and then Zion was dominate. Like,
oh, Zion was like, yeah, it's just, we need a basket? All right,
all right.
This.
And here's the thing. Zion – and you look at I could name – I'm going to throw CJ. We just can't guard them.
No.
We just can't.
No.
We don't have anybody – and Zion's a great player. We're not the only ones that can't guard him. A lot of teams can't guard him. But it was clear as day. Like
Valanciunas, too.
Valanciunas. And I think Valanciunas gives Sabonis some credit some trouble, excuse me, with the physicality. And also, how about Valanciunas hitting – 15 to 17 footers, jumpers and everything. I'm like, what is going on here? That's a confident team that knows they came in and now have kicked your butt five times this season.
You mentioned cookies, and it was so sad because it was towards the end of the game. It had been decided. Kings fans were trudging out with their heads down. And then somebody on the Pelicans, I think it was Herb Jones, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
He went to the line and missed the first one. And Scott Moak says, well, we do have cookies on the line. You know, somebody, if he misses, everyone gets a crumble cookie. And he made it. So I thought, oh, he
can't even get a cookie
get
out of the deal, right? Oh, came to this game and just got a lousy L. Can't even get a cookie out.
Yeah, when we come back. You know what? Mike Brown is putting a happy face on being in the play-in. Next, Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports. What do you guys in Philadelphia do to honor your sports legends? But I just saw this. I know Jay had been sharing this with us on our text thread. I just am seeing now the unveiling of the Allen Iverson statue in Philadelphia. Where's the rest of it? What are they doing? What is this, a statue for ants? Why is it so small?
I think outside of their practice facility, they have, like, those kind of statues. Like, statues that, like, it's not like Shaq and Kobe outside of crypto.
It's like a lawn gnome. It's right? Like little,
I'm just saying. I know. It looks bad. It looks awful. I saw a video of some of the other statues that he'll be going up next to. And, you know, they aren't all, you know, massive or anything like that. And so
it's him doing his crossover.
Yeah, the crossover, right?
Yeah. And I mean, he looks like he likes it and he just gave it a kiss and everything. But it's like, that's Allen Iverson.
Man, y'all being negative, man. Stop that, man. You should just be happy he got a statue.
Oh, you better stop it. Don't do Allen Iverson like that. Like he deserves one of them little weak chocolate chip cookies. You talking about an icon. But you are right in the fact of after, and this is why the media doesn't do their jobs. As sometimes we talk about on this show, no one during the presentation showed the other trophy. So if you haven't been to the Philadelphia 76ers practice facility, you wouldn't know that all the rest of these trophies are the exact same size.
Right, Right, exactly. Now, if this was, you know, the one outside of, you know, where they play their home games, you know what's interesting, though, that from – and I love my city of Philadelphia, but even when I was in Boston, they used to just razz me, man. They're like, how come Rocky got a statue?
Oh, yeah,
and he's a fictional character.
Right,
like,
right.
You know, it's so – like, how does Rocky have a bigger statue than Allen Iverson?
By the way, and Jay just said trophy. He didn't misspeak. This statue is the size of one of those little bowling ball men on your trophy. That's what this is. It's like the little guy on the trophy.
It is.
Like, here you go.
They're doing them. They're doing what they do. Like let them have their moment. You know, it's if AI isn't upset about it. And let me also
say, I'm looking at him.
No, but let me say this. You're clowning it, and you can
laugh. Well, you got to see the video too,
Julius Erving has. Yeah, you got. If Julius Erving has that same size statue,
he does.
If Moses Malone,
he does.
If Will Chamberlain,
he does.
Then Allen Iverson should have it too.
Yeah.
Like, and I understand AI is the man. Trust me, Allen Iverson is my guy. Love Allen Iverson coming up.
Like,
but you know, it is what it is.
White, you have to go to. I retweeted it, but like the 76ers and a couple of other media people who weren't in attendance have now retweeted. You know, the outside of the practice facility. And I just learned this, that the 76ers don't own their arena, which is why they can't post those trophies.
It's the Flyers arena.
Outside of their playing arena, they do it outside their practice facility. So it's kind of like a walkway. Okay. And as you said, as Drapes talked about Moses, the Doc, you know, Charles Barkley has one out there. Wilt has one. Yeah, they're all set up. And then AI is like the last one in the far corner before you enter the building now.
Todd McCullough probably has one.
Todd McCullough. Come on, man. Keith Van Horn, you know.
Well, somebody, Eric Snow. Somebody should say, hey, we should build bigger statues. But okay.
Yeah.
I get it.
But fellas, can I say this?
Chance to rip Philly.
But can I say this, though? And like friends of our show, you know, Mark Spears. People like that, who I would have expected to know this, did not know that there was a walkway of these.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Garden gnomes, as you called them, Whitey, of Philadelphia 76ers greats. You know, they should make them a little bigger, but they coincide. But I was just amazed to see some of like top-notch NBA media who was making fun of the size of it to not even know that. Like, now I can't even believe half the stuff you're putting out.
Man, that's the world we live in, though, Jay.
I know, right.
It's like everybody want to be critical or make a joke or something like that. And it's like, dude, where's the context?
But the larger truth is statues are supposed to be life-size. You know, and they have, you know, better than I. In Philadelphia, I'm sure they have Ben Franklin, everybody.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, they got
They don't have little mini Ben Franklin,
there's no
right?
rules. There's no rules.
No, that's what a statue is to honor somebody is supposed to be. That's traditionally what a statue is. That's all.
That's
Do you know what Dame Lillard is afraid of statues and any figure that's
really?
Like, yeah, like a mannequin and stuff, and I forget the condition. But he has like a phobia.
No way. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I'll look it up. There's a term for it. And people were looking at it when they were trying to determine, well, where's he going to go? You know, if he wants out of Portland, what cities do they have?
Like,
he won't want to go there. So, okay, that's nice. If Allen Iverson likes it. That's...
Right. Exactly. You know, it is what
Bring
it is.
Bring your magnifying glass.
Like I said,
go to see it.
If Wilt has one, if Dr. J has one, who's this? Why Allen Iverson should be larger? Now, if it's outside the arena, or maybe they don't have the space. You just don't. I mean, come on, man. You're just ripping Philly. If this was Baltimore, we wouldn't even be doing this. If this was Tampa, we wouldn't even be doing it.
Who would have in Baltimore, like little Frank Robinson?
Yeah, Frank Robinson.
Bobblehead thing. You know, there's a statue.
They'd have, what's his name, Ray Lewis.
Yeah.
Ray Lewis out there in Baltimore.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Real quick here, this was Mike Brown last night talking about the play-in, trying to put a positive spin on the fact that the Kings cannot finish out of the play-in and trying to put a positive spin on where they can still go from here. Here's Mike Brown.
I've told our team this many times. I mean, this what we're going through right now is invaluable. I hope everybody, and I told them, I said, we all should be embracing this 100%. For sure, guys, I want to freaking win every game. And trust me, I go home and I bang my head against the wall just like everybody else in that locker room on these losses. But, man, you know, I don't know. It seems like forever, but maybe the last 10 games or so, maybe a little longer, every single time we stepped on the floor, there's been an expectation, a pressure of trying to get a win, and one win or one loss. One win can move you up three spots. One loss can drop you down three spots. And so to be able to go through this, especially right now in our second year with the team we have, while Keon's getting experience, while Davion's getting experience, and even throwing Kobe in there a little bit too. And the reality of it is Fox hasn't been through this. This is Fox's eighth year in the league, but he hasn't been through this at all. And, you know, Domas probably hasn't been through it. You know, he's played in the playoffs, I think, twice before coming here. So for all of us to be able to go through this is an invaluable learning experience. I hope we come out on top. But for us to have to fight for that play-in spot and realize how good it will be to play at home, okay, in that first game, knowing that you got two shots at it, I'm excited about it. I've embraced it. If we could have finished in sixth, I wanted that more than anything else, or fifth. But at the end of the day, this is where we are, and let's freaking go get it.
I understand why he says that. I understand why he has to say that. I'm not buying that 100%.
Why not? What part aren't you buying?
He's trying to put a positive spin on how disappointing it is that this team, as well as they were playing and as good as the record was, that they're in the play-in. And all the experience is invaluable, and it's part of
adversity,
the growing experience for this team.
You're not buying that? I got facts right here. I look at the Denver Nuggets, Mike Malone's first year. 33-49.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Malone's second year, 40-42. Their third year, 46-36. So it didn't just happen overnight, Whitey. Let me ask you this.
But it
what
went
was
like
the,
this.
What, no, it didn't. What was their record the year before they won the championship?
They probably won 44.
The year before they won the championship, 48.
48?
The year before that, 47.
Okay.
46. 2018-19, 54 wins.
Uh-huh.
And then they dropped back to 46.
Jamal Murray got hurt.
But that's what I'm saying. This team is about to have 47 wins. 47 wins.
No, that's good. That's good.
Great.
That's
exactly.
Good. Uh-huh.
And so this whole notion that, you know, oh, my gosh, this is terrible. It's an awful season and everything like that. This is actually where the Kings are supposed to be in their trajectory towards building a championship team. And that's the word, building a championship team.
I understand that, but I'll tell you what bothers me about what he said when we come right back here. Also, we'll look at, you know, the Kings did so many things really well last night, and yet they still lost. How did that happen? Next year with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.